Take your Bibles, if you will. We'll begin reading in 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll also be going to Psalm 115. So you may want to turn there, just keeping it in your finger in place there, in Psalm 115. Let's stand together, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And may I say this before we continue to read, Jesus Christ is God. Why would he need to accept any other form of salvation? He doesn't. Jesus said, I am the way. Society has many religions, but there's only one true way into heaven, and it's not through religion. It's through Jesus Christ. And verse 20 says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the announcement of this baby girl. Have your hand upon her, Lord. Lord, be with the families that are here today, for each one that is in this room. Lord, we know that there are those with burdens and concerns. Have your hand upon them. Direct their lives. And Lord, we pray for the spiritual needs in this room also. For those who have never accepted Christ as their Savior. For those who have, even at this time in their lives, begin to have issues with their faith. Lord, give them direction, give them strength, give them wisdom. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 7 of chapter 1, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. On the element charts in high school, college, there in Webster's Dictionary, you'll find that the elements AU and AG are the most sought after and desired, but not the most necessary for life. How many of you wish you had a little AU in your pocket right now? Well, you didn't raise your hand. You must not know what AU stands for. What does AU stand for? Gold. And AG, what does it stand for? Silver. Now, you might have a little silver in your pocket right now. You might be wearing a little bit of AG. Gold. We find that Peter says that to the Lord, your trials are more precious than gold. See, to God, gold is just a created material. No big deal. To us, gold is important. In fact, we have the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Yet many times we don't follow the golden rule because we're afraid they won't follow the golden rule. So all of us have a struggle with that. Gold is first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, where it talks about the rivers flowing out of the Garden of Eden. And it says the name of the first is Pison, that it is which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. And so we find that there is gold. If you look up the word gold in Webster's dictionary, you'll find this definition: a moldable, flexible, yellow metallic element, and is used in coins and jewelry. Gold. Interesting, when it comes to the definition of the word silver, it's a little bit longer. It says a white metallic element that is vibrant, flexible, very adaptable, capable of high degree of polish, and chiefly univalent in compounds, and is the best at conducting electricity. Gold and silver, they are considered of great value. Gold more than silver, but they are still both valuable. In fact, people are willing to steal and to kill to obtain it. They will spend a lifetime to acquire it. We have some thoughts and some verses that go with gold and silver. Psalm chapter 19, verses 9 and 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than they, are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold." That the judgments of the Lord are of more value than gold. Do you feel that way? You see, gold is precious in the eyes of man, but our Lord's desire is that we will follow His words, which He will honor more. May I say this, that when you die, the gold in your pocket will go where? Nowhere. Nowhere. But what you've done for the Lord will last. Psalm 119:72 says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than 1,000 of gold and silver." Psalm 119:127 says, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." If you would, the book of Psalms 115. Do you remember I asked you that? You may want to turn there. And if you did so, we'd like you to raise your hand because you followed instruction, and we're going to give you $1,000 each. You can collect it after the service. See Brother Wutke. Oh, did we run out of checks, Brother Wutke? We got a lot of rubber checks. Psalm 115, verses 1 through 11. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." There are those who have idols of gold and silver. We know that there are many who have false gods in our society. Though it may not be an idol that is made with silver and gold, but many have idols, and you may have it in your pocket today, or in your wallet, or hooked to your belt. You say, "Pastor Paul, what is that idol today?" This is our number one idol today. It's all inclusive. It is a problem that people are having as they can't seem to live. Well, how long would you be willing to go without your phone? What if I told you, I think you need to bring your phones and put them on the front pew, and why don't you leave them there for a week and you can pick them up next Sunday? You think you could handle that? I tell you what, a lot of us would say, what? I can't use my phone? It has become an idol. It's become a god. We are addicted to them. Not everybody, but are there gods in our lives that have taken total control? A dad told me the other day, he says, I found out that my son is into pornography. Would you say that pornography is a god? Yes. And is it growing worse in our society? They call it free speech. Do you think our forefathers really meant pornography when they talked about free speech? They didn't. What they really meant was that we could say what we thought the government was doing wrong. It wasn't that we could now cuss, we could use vile language, that we could have TV programs that aren't fit for anything, not fit for human consumption. What it is pornography has become a god. How about sports? Are sports a god? Absolutely. We have people that know every stat about everything, but they don't know where the book of Hezekiah is in the Bible. And if you asked them to find the book of Hezekiah in the Bible, they would spend hours trying to do it. Because what? There is no book of Hezekiah in the Bible. But they don't know that. Because their whole life is given over to other things. The book of Psalms 135 verse 15 says, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. So you don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to put your cell phone on the front pew, folks. I was just asking a question. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, we are told that we are not redeemed with silver and gold. Why do you think Peter uses the thought that we are not redeemed with silver and gold? Why do you think he uses that word? Now, remember, he is writing in the first century. First century of the church. You know how many slaves were in the Roman Empire in the first century? 60 million slaves. 60 million. And how could those slaves be redeemed? Well, somebody would have to purchase their freedom. And how would they purchase their freedom? With what? Silver and gold. And Peter is telling that early body of believers that was going through many sufferings and persecution for their faith. He was saying, you are not redeemed with silver and gold. You are not redeemed by what man can give you. You are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That redemption has paid the price for your sins, for my sins, for our sins. Christ died for the whole world. But you have to be willing to accept him as Savior. So if I am the enemy of the Lord and I am the enemy of that which is good and I am an enemy of the church, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to give other thoughts, aren't I? I'm going to corrupt the church as much as possible. I'm going to give false doctrines. I'm going to teach, well, if you work hard and you're really good, God's got to let you into heaven. Well, you show that to me in the Bible. You can't, because we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are purchased by the blood of Christ. He has paid the price. As much as gold and silver means to us, what do you think it means to God? What is the street in heaven made of? Gold. You think he made the street of gold because it looks pretty? Or to tell us the value of gold to God? Sometimes we get confused and we think that America is blessed because we have great economies and we have money. How is America blessed, folks? Gospel preaching churches. You remove the gospel preaching churches from America and you remove the blessings from America. So what is happening in America today? We are removing the gospel preaching churches. And we are replacing them with churches that teach works. Teaching that you be you and I'll be me, and if we all get together, well, we'll just be all right. Is that counter to what the Lord has taught? Absolutely. Verse 17 says, so pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. To sojourn is to visit, to tarry in one place for a time, but not a place of permanent dwelling. Folks, don't put your roots too deep in planet Earth. Because we that are believers, we have a better place. Albert Brumley writes, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. So while we're here, we are to gird up the loins of our mind, as we read in verse 13. We need to be ready for action. We need to be awake spiritually. We are to keep sober in spirit, for the Christian walk is a serious walk. Folks, souls are at stake. There's heaven and there's hell. And we need to realize that if someone doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are going to hell. Now, I know in a lot of churches today, they won't talk about hell. They'll talk about heaven, but not everyone's going to heaven. Contrary to TV programs where somebody dies and they say, well, they're in a better place now. The only time they're in a better place is if they accepted Christ as Savior. We are to fix our hope completely on God's grace, not on our humble fruits that may be produced by our good works. Is your hope completely on God's grace? We are to avoid returning to our former lifestyle. We are to be separate. We are to act and look differently. I believe this, that there are things as believers we're not to say. As believers, there are things we're not to watch. As believers, there are things we're not to do because we are different. And may I say this, it's better if the Lord appreciates what you do, even if society doesn't care one snap of what you do. How important it is that we realize we're not to return to our former lifestyle. But according to verse 15, we are to live and strive to be holy in all manner of conversation or in our lifestyle. In verses 18 through 20, we realize the awesome cost of our salvation. We talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three God, three parts of God, the Trinity. And God the Son came to die. That was the plan. So if God the Son came to die to please the God the Father's holiness and justness, why would he be interested in anything you can do to get into heaven? What possibly could you do that God would say, oh, okay, you can come on in? Well, there's one thing. You can live a sinless life. A sinless life. So I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to sit down here because I'm going to ask you who have lived a sinless life to stand up. I don't see anybody standing. What does that mean all of us are? Sinners. And we've come short of the glory of God, right? So if you haven't lived a sinless life, that means you have sinned, which means that you need to have someone to cover your sins. Now, my mother was a pretty nice woman. You that knew my mother, you know, she sang here at the church. She taught in Vacation Bible School. She taught in Sunday school. She led the choir. She put up with my dad. It's true, right, Dad? She did. Could she get into heaven because of her good works? No. My wife's a pretty good person. Did you hear I said pretty good? I was talking about your dogs in Sunday school. Your dogs. Now she's gone into butterflies. What do you have, about 150 cocoons at our house? 650? Chrysalises. Oh, I got to use the right terms now, don't I? Yes. I mean, you know, she wants bees in our yard. How many of you want bees in your yard? Some of you want bees in your yard. Yeah, pollinators, right? Yeah. Will that get her into heaven? No. I mean, she's married to me. Will that get her into heaven because she's married to me? Okay, let me say something. Let's start with Rachel. And all of you. You've all done good works, haven't you? All of you? You've done, I hope. What if you all give all your good works to me? Would that get me into heaven? No. See, when we stand before the judge of the universe, he's only going to look for one thing, and that's to see if you've been covered by the blood. Whose blood? The blood of Jesus Christ. Well, what about those religions that teach other things? There is the author of other religions. And his desire is to confuse us. And some of those religions use the word Christianity in them. But they're not Christian. Because anything that teaches that you have to work your way to heaven is not Christian. Christianity is that Christ died and we are followers of Christ. Tom Westwood writes, the pseudo-intellectuals are abandoning all thought of the virtue of the blood of Christ and are choosing rather to follow the vain traditional religions of man, redeeming himself from his iniquity and his sin, unquote. Man wants to put God into a box. May I say this? I don't want a God I can put in a box. In fact, our God says that his hand spans the universe. Sounds to me like an awesome God. Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 uses this thought, justified by his blood. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we have the precious blood of Christ. A holy and just God demands justice. A holy and just God. When Christ was upon the cross, God the Father could not look upon God the Son when he became our sin sacrifice. And Jesus called out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because a holy and just God demands justice. But a loving and merciful God provides a way of salvation. Jesus Christ is the way. Today we live in a world that's in the slave camps of sin. Addictions are running amok. Vileness, vulgarity, lewdness. We live in a society that says, well, if it feels good, do it. And yet we know that our Lord has said there is a way that is right unto man, and it's the way of destruction. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So I ask you, are you still in the slave pit of sin? Are you spiritually lost, condemned, on your way to a Christless eternity? Or have you been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ? In conclusion, Francis Ridley Havergal saw a picture of the crucified Christ with the caption under it, I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me? She quickly wrote a poem, but being dissatisfied with it, she threw it into an unlit fireplace. The paper somehow was blown out of the grate and out onto the floor unharmed. Later, her father suggested that she have the poem published. P.P. Bliss put it to music, and today we sing the song, I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given to me? Shall we stand together? A song of invitation will be sung. You may want to come and pray here at the altar. We never make anybody come, but if you feel led, you can come and pray here by yourself, or we'd be glad to have someone pray with you. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, what better day to do it than today? For there is no guarantee of tomorrow. Dear Heavenly Father, as we pray for this invitation time, we ask that your hand would be upon us. Lord, we pray that you would save that soul that is even nearest hell today. Be with that one, Lord, that knows thee as Savior but has drifted. And Lord, we pray for each of us that we could remain strong in our Christian walk. And we ask this in Jesus' name and again with thanksgiving. Amen.